I read the Confessions of St. Patrick several times, and I was quite moved by the person who comes across deeply personal testimony. And whoever was the Patrick who wrote those confessions, it did resonate. It's a very personal... the Patrick who wrote it was a man of deep sensitivity and a sense of gratitude for what God had done for him, a sense also that he wanted to share his vision of God's love, and he certainly had a deep affection for the Irish. While he had been affected by the trauma of slavery, he could rise above it and put it to some good use in protecting the people. So I certainly have a personal affection for the Patrick who wrote the Confessions. After that, as we know, of course, the church, everything has changed radically over the centuries in Ireland and in other countries as well. And some of the developments have gone off the rails, nothing to do with the Gospels. I've embraced all kinds of other ideologies. So I have a great affection for Patrick, and I celebrate him, but I certainly won't be putting on him all the patriarchal trappings, and because I certainly don't believe that was what he was about. I also believe that there was other Christians around. He was not the only one. There were other Christians, and certainly I also have great affection for St. Bridget. Again, historically hard to know exactly everything about it, but I think it's great to celebrate them. But as I say, the Confessions are a great document and an inspiring testimony. One of the interesting things in terms of how Christianity changed or evolved is that St. Patrick, I think, is probably one of the last documents, Christian documents, where a saint like Patrick could claim that he had got guidance through dreams, visions of the night, and that God spoke to him through that. Of course, in the Bible, we have a lot of examples of that, as we know. And Patrick paid attention to that inner guidance, seeing the Spirit at work in his dreams, and they marked every turning point in his life. But interestingly, very soon afterwards, the Christian Church forbade people to pay any attention to dreams, and it was a great loss. Some people, of course, did it, but could not really talk about it officially. It's only in the last few decades that, again, we have officially rediscovered and reconnected to that inner dimension as a source of guidance. And certainly those of us who work in the ministry of spiritual accompaniment or spiritual direction would pay attention to our dreams. So that is a concrete fact that certainly the Christianity of St. Patrick changed and lost something for several centuries.
Yeah, I mean, so where did it all go wrong, really?
Where did it all go wrong? I'm not an expert. I think it gradually got more caught up into structures of power. It got wealth, it got power, it had more to lose. It paid more attention to all those established things, and it disconnected from its deep soul. I think that's what attracts me when I read the Confession of Patrick. I get a sense of a man who is not ashamed of his vulnerabilities or of his flaws, and at the same time can claim God's goodness at work in himself, and a sense of vision and a sense of mission, and a sense of God within himself and around. And I think it got very disconnected and tied on with rules and regulations, and the personal relationship that Patrick has with his God is so wonderful. It's really the one that Jesus talks about, the trust of a child, of a beloved child or of God, the same trust that Jesus had for the one he called Abba, that I find in Patrick. But after that, that trust was put into structures, wealth, rules, and it became just a mirror of the established power structures with lordships and hierarchies of power and even the language, you know, when people were enthroned, I mean, sitting on thrones. There's nothing of that in Patrick. Certainly you can see the Patrick who wrote the Confessions at the end of his life. You can see the youth in him. He had never lost connection with the youth in him. And I think that's why the gospel in him remained fresh. And I think that was inspiring, and that's what was the missionary in him. But that was lost, that deep connection. I would say the deep connection to the Spirit.
You talk about him being in touch with his emotions, and maybe it's a cliche, but that's almost like the feminine side, you know, that he was more in touch with his feminine side, and it wasn't maybe just a repression of women, but an actual repression of femininity.
Yes, I think the two go together, because of course women and the feminine has been associated with weakness and vulnerability and also sexuality. But we all have masculine and feminine within us, if we want even to put those dimensions, and of course the body, all these things obviously. And there was a split later on. We split, you know, and we downgraded one part of our human nature, and instead of embracing all of our human nature and therefore all of creation as well. But, you know, I find in Patrick a very attractive image and a freshness which can still speak across the centuries to somebody, you know, like me. It speaks to my own sense of faith and my own sense of God. And I recognized in the man who penned that document an authenticity and a wholeness, which is actually quite attractive because it's very real. It's a real person. It's not somebody playing a role. Sadly, in so many cases, I've seen some of the bishops, I said, you know, I've met the bishop, I've never met the man, because you met somebody who just speaks rules, regulations. But Patrick, the man of the Confessions, was not like that. There's a very strong high voice. He can speak for himself out of his own experience. His faith is not a second-hand one. He knows what he's talking about. He has lived it, and he continues living it. And that's what he's offering to others. It's a testimony. Trust that God has been faithful to me. See what God has done in my life. That God is trustworthy and is at work in your own life. That is the message that he's saying. I love that he has a sentence that God brought him like he was lying like a stone in the mire, and God picked him up and put him on top of the wall. He was a foreigner and had been enslaved and was nothing. And that sense of wonderment and gratitude, and that's something which speaks very much to me. But perhaps also I'm a foreigner in this land who also has developed a very strong affection for this land, and like Patrick, could consider himself Irish by the time, you know, that he died. I would consider myself also Irish, so it's a great celebration day for myself.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly very transcendent because, you know, I mean, his life wasn't really full of blessings, at least at the start. You know, he was taken as a slave and he had a very miserable life, you know, so to rise above that and to see God at work in that, you know, it's not something everybody achieves.
No, and I think that was the part of his mission, but he had to embrace that mission. And looking back, that's what the confession is. It's him looking back and seeing God at work in through all the events on in life, the happy ones, but also the terrible and the trauma. Now, it does not underestimate the trauma or the loneliness that it caused him or the hardship, but he could see that through it all, some good could come, but he had to embrace it, and that the wounds, you know, he could have let the wounds fester, but he could see that out of his wounds, and in that sense, Patrick was very much a real wounded healer. I have to add, a real one, because some take on that mantle, you know, and it's a caricature. But Patrick was certainly a wounded healer from the wounds of slavery and the hardship of exile and slavery. He developed a sensitivity and a love and a compassion for others.
I mean, it's certainly something in there for women too, isn't there, from the point of view of being marginalized and being out in the cold and being almost in exile in terms of the church, to kind of turn around and to turn that into something incredibly powerful.
Yes, Patrick experienced actually being physically out in the cold on those long nights, and And I suppose that's where he found out that God kept him warm in more than one ways. And I think that's, I can only really speaking for myself, I can't speak for other women, but for myself, yes, the experience of being marginalized in the institution or left out in the cold, so to speak, that's why we found that God keeps us warm, in the sense the closeness of God is experienced. And out of that, it's not that we can turn it around for something big or God, is that we can perhaps let God use that to bring out something very different. I think that's what Patrick does. Patrick wouldn't claim credit for having done anything. I think his confession is at the end is a great, I was going to say a great song of thanksgiving, looking back on his life, that he found that there was meaning in his life, there was meaning in the hardship, and that God could work through all those times, weave all those threads into a beautiful tapestry, and that it could be a source of blessings for others, first of all to himself and to others. And I suppose those of us women or other people, men who are marginalized or enslaved or in exile, and I think also here we have a lot of refugees in Ireland, and what kind of St. Patrick's Day will it be for them, those who are in direct provision or just outside trying to make a home here? Well, I hope it will speak to them also that their lives can have meaning and can be a source, they can be blessings for them and for others in whatever shape or form or whatever God, what kind of name they put on God. I think it's ultimately the great providence of the divine and in the lives of all of us. And if we open ourselves to it, that mystery can work extraordinary things.